Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Crossover. Crossover. Moving from one location to another, crossover, or changing directions from this way to that way, crossover. I'm thinking that we need a crossover, a change of direction. And in the midst of thinking we need a crossover, I'm wondering a few things. I'm wondering, elbow your neighbor and say, he's wondering something. I'm wondering if this Jesus that we've come to know here in America, this American Jesus, I'm wondering if this American Jesus is not the biblical Jesus. You see, I'm wondering if, I see this on Facebook, I'm wondering if this political Jesus that so many post, you know, the Jesus who agrees with your political views, I'm wondering if this political Jesus is not the biblical Jesus. I'm wondering. And I'm wondering if this material blessing Jesus, where we have more than we need and we can walk out materially and be materialistic, I'm wondering if this material blessing Jesus, I'm wondering if this isn't the biblical Jesus. I'm just wondering. And I'm wondering if this unending health Jesus, the Jesus that we expect to provide us health all the time, I'm wondering if this Jesus, this unending health Jesus, I'm wondering if he's not the biblical Jesus. And I'm wondering if this narcissistic Jesus, you know, the Jesus who's all about me, me, and me, feed me, my type of music, my type of thing, my personal Lord and Savior, me, me. I wonder if the narcissistic Jesus, the Jesus that makes it all about me, I wonder if that Jesus is not the biblical Jesus. And I wonder if this one good thing among many good things Jesus, you know, the one good thing among many good things, Jesus. I wonder if that's not the biblical Jesus. You know, the Jesus that, you know, he's a good thing, but, you know, so is going to the dentist, and so is, you know, having, you know, a healthy diet, and so is my family, and so is work. You know, Jesus is just one among many good things. He's the Jesus one among many good things, Jesus. I'm wondering if it's the Jesus that we've come to serve, and I'm wondering if this Jesus, this Jesus is not the biblical Jesus. See, I think many are shocked. Many who come to the faith are shocked that life isn't always peaches and cream. And I think many have the faith rocked when things don't go perfectly. And I'm wondering if this describes you, and you throw up your hands in the air and say, why isn't everything going the way I want it to go? And I'm thinking the American Jesus that we've kind of portrayed, I don't think this is a biblical Jesus, because the biblical Jesus would say, in this life you'll have troubles. And I'm wondering if the American Jesus that our culture has pervaded doesn't do us good when the struggles of life hit us. I'm wondering, when it comes to Jesus, if we need a, boom, crossover, a change of direction. I'm wondering something else. I'm wondering if some of you are bored in your faith. I mean, it happens. I'm wondering if some of you, like, oh, geez, here we go again, back to church. Yawn, let's get that over with. I wonder if your faith is just bored and you're wondering if there's something more. I'm wondering if you're bored, and I'm wondering if you're bored because your faith has cost you too little. Did you hear that? I wonder if you're bored in your faith because your faith has cost you too little. I'm wondering. And I'm wondering if you're bored, and I'm wondering if you're bored because, listen to this, I'm wondering if your Jesus is too small. I'm wondering. Maybe your Jesus isn't the biblical Jesus. So I'm wondering some things, and I'm thinking we need a crossover. And I told you last week that there's been an unrest in my insides, or a disturbance in the force, if you will. There's something the Lord is stirring. And last week I told you, what am I going to do with that? And I said, here's what I'm going to do with that. I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but I do know that we're going to pray and we're going to press into some things. So, and I also said, in the midst of this unrest and this, I think the Lord wants us as a community to do a crossover. Did you enjoy the 3-minute clip of Steph Curry before the service? Did anybody see that? Who saw that? My man gives us a good visual of what a crossover is. We'll show it again as soon as the service is over. But as I told you about this crossover and my unrest, I also told you that I don't want to do a couple things. I don't want to exhaust you. I don't want you to feel like I'm putting more upon you, more and more. And I don't want to give the impression that your faith is about you just trying harder. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't want to exhaust you, because Jesus himself would say his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's not exhausting. And even though I'm saying I'm wondering if it's cost us too little, I'm not trying to exhaust us. And at the same time, I don't want to settle in our church. Whose church is this? It's our church. I don't want our church to settle for maintenance type ministry. And so I'm not sure where the Lord is taking us. But I do think it's time for us to cross over. And I'm wondering if part of the crossover is for us to have a realignment with the biblical Jesus, as opposed to embracing simply the American Jesus. So all I want to do today is very quickly kind of go to the scriptures and remind us of who Jesus is, and maybe let the biblical Jesus rise up. And if the American Jesus has been percolating in your mind, maybe break through that so that we can see the biblical Jesus and see who he is, and maybe have some direction come our way. So we have Luke chapter 15 right here on the screens. Now the tax collectors and sinners, somebody say, now, let me just tell you one thing. Scripturally speaking, contextually, some of you might know this, but the tax collectors and sinners, you couldn't get any worse than this. You know, tax collectors were backstabbing, conniving people who got rich off the backs of their own people. They sold out their own people for their own ends. And sinners? Repeat after me. I mean, I'm not really overstating the fact that tax collectors and sinners in the day of Jesus, the day that this passage was written, these were the people that you just didn't associate if you wanted to be a good religious Jewish person in the day. You wanted nothing to do with them. These were the marginalized. These were the people who were stupid and sinful enough that they were just cast out because of their own stupidity. You want nothing to do with these type of people if you were to be a respectable religious person in the day of Jesus. But the Bible says now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. Now this tells me something. This tells me that this Jesus of the Bible is winsome to sinful people. Now if you're a sinful person, you ought to say amen to that. Because the religious system of the day was just ostracizing to sinful people, but Jesus, he drew them just by his very nature and his very being. Somebody say, Now I just want to break it to you. You're sinful. Point to your neighbor and say, you are sinful. Yeah, that's right. Point at me too. Say, you're sinful too, bald man. These are the type of people, sinful people who, let me just ask you, how many of you have said in your minds, you know, man, I did that thing again. But you know what, this thing that I always do that's sinful, I'm not doing it again. I am not going to do that again. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Well, you know, that kind of just maybe one more time. And you find yourself doing it again. How many of you have done this? Yeah, and how many of you have unintentionally hurt somebody in your life and you just feel horrible about it? Has anybody ever hurt somebody and you say, man, I am never going to hurt that person again because I didn't mean to do that. I love them. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. And next thing you know, you're doing it again. How many have done that? How many of you have said to yourself, you know what, it's a new year. I got my resolutions. And I'm going to get rid of all the junk in my life. I am not going to do this anymore. Amen. Yeah. Never going to eat unhealthy again because it's bad for the temple of the Holy Spirit. A friend of ours, I don't know why he would make this resolution, but he told us, didn't he, Jake? He said, I am never drinking Mountain Dew again come January 1. that was stupid. Right? I mean, why would you want to give up Mountain Dew, in my humble opinion? But it's not healthy, and so it's kind of a good, I'm never doing it by January 3rd. He'd already had four Mountain Dews. You see, we're prone to do that which we don't want to do, and that which we want to do, we don't do. This is Romans chapter 7. How many of you know what it is to be like a tax collector and a sinner? Although sometimes we can hide it and pretend like we got our act together, but on the inside, we know that we are the tax collectors and the sinners. How many of you know this? See, but the good news of Jesus is that people like them, people like us, were drawn to him. You see, sometimes the American Jesus is an angry, I almost want to say PO'd, and I want to say the word so bad, but I'm not going to because there's children in the room. But sometimes the American Jesus is just an angry, ready to smite you Jesus. But you know, whenever you look in the scriptures, you see passages like this one where people who were broken and sinful, they found a place of safety around Jesus, and he ain't mad. Now, Jesus gets mad. He gets mad in the scripture. He throws things. He flips over tables. We do see images of the angry Jesus, but he was angry at religious people who wanted to oppress sinful people. So tax collectors and sinners, they gathered around to hear Jesus because Jesus is winsome. Now here's the deal. Some of you have known Jesus for a long time, and I'm wondering if the winsome Jesus is evident in your life for the people who know you to see. You know, because Jesus ascended to heaven. We see this in the book of Acts, right? He'll come back someday, but right now he's living in heaven, and he gave us the Spirit to live inside of us, and so you are the Jesus to be winsome to the world around you. So the tax collectors, the sinners, they were all gathering around to hear what Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers, I already alluded to this, they muttered, "This man welcomes sinners to eat with them." Can you imagine that? He hangs out with people who don't got their act together. He claims to be the Messiah, and he hangs out with sinful people. You see, the American Jesus is much like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The American Jesus says, in order to belong in a faith community, you got to have your act together. And this is sinful because when we think we have to have our act together, we pretend like we have our act together, right? And you've heard me say this before. So when people come up to you and say, "Hey, how you doing?" Your answer is always, "Great. Hey, great, fine. The Lord is blessed. Hallelujah." On the inside, I'm angry at my wife. I'm angry at my kids. I punched the dog, and I'm angry at everybody, but nobody can do it. That's not true for me right now, okay? I've never done any of that. But we have to pretend and we pose, and when we pretend and we pose out of fear of the text or the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, when we pose and we hide, we'll never enter into the grace of Jesus. And so that's why we say here at the River, if you got a pulse, yeah, you got issues, and your issues lead to sinfulness. But the law of religion and this thing that I'm calling today, the American Jesus says, you have better get your act together. But the Jesus of Scripture says, come to me without your act together, and I'll help you get your act together. If we pretend we have our act together and we go to Jesus, he's not going to be able to work in us because we're going to pretend like we have it all together. And I just want to be clear, none of us have it together. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to have you play biblical scholar today. Do you think the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were not sinners? They weren't. Or were they? They were. See, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they forgot that they were actually a part of the same group, tax collectors and sinners. Quite frankly, tax collectors and sinners could include every human ever to walk planet Earth. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious people, people who might have fallen in love with what I'm calling today the American Jesus, they tended to think that, hey, I'm not a sinner anymore. And so they pulled themselves apart, and they forgot that although they had been studying and waiting for the Messiah, they forgot that they actually needed the Messiah, someone who would save them from their own stupidity and reconcile them to God. They forgot in their studies the reality of the one they were studying. They were as much sinful sinners as the top two groups. So this man welcomes sinners and eats with them, and they use that as a, wouldn't that last sentence right there? They should have said, yeah. Woo, this man, he welcomes sinners and eats with them. Because they should have realized their own broken status needed a Savior who would sit and eat with them. So instead of a sentence of scorn, that is really a sentence of praise because he He welcomes sinners to eat with him. And so some of you might be feeling the weight of your sin today. I want you to hear it, not the way they meant it, but the way it is. He welcomes sinners to eat with him. He really does. He welcomes sinners to eat with him. And some of you who are bored in your faith, I'm wondering if you need to be the Jesus who welcomes sinners to eat with you. And some of you who might be bored in your faith might need to break out of this American Christianity thing and do something crazy and risky to bring Jesus to a place where tax collectors and sinners hang out. Amen. Next slide, please. So then Jesus told them the parable. And quite frankly, all that up to this point was introduction. We might be in trouble on time. We'll speed it up. In my mind, this was going to be a short sermon today. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Now let me just set up what Jesus is doing. He's telling story because story is the language of the heart, right? Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't lecture like a boring teacher? I mean, how many of you have ever had boring teachers? Oh my word. Jesus isn't about that because the word of God is so important. You got to hear it. And he wants to do all that he can do to make it easy for you to hear and to receive. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Because I have ADD. Right? So he's telling a story, and in the story, there's really sheep and there's a shepherd, and the shepherd represents the God of heaven, and thus the people who follow the God of heaven, right? So God's the shepherd, and by extension, we kind of can be the shepherd too. And there's sheep. Now, we're also, if we're followers of Christ, we're considered sheep in this story. So it's a weird story if you have your God goggles on, because you could be the sheep and you could be the shepherd. There's kind of two roles for you. And so you gotta listen and read the text smartly. So there's sheep, which is people, and there's the shepherd, which is God. And then by extension, there's also sheep, which is other people, and there's shepherd, which is you if you're a follower of God. So here's the story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Now, Jesus asked this question that you see up there on the screen as if the answer is obvious, and I think the answer was obvious to his people. I'm not so sure it is to us, those of us who are used to what I'm calling the American Jesus. He says, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And I'm saying to myself, I know I've preached this before about 8 years ago, I'm sure you remember. I'm saying, no. I mean, 99's good, right? I got 99, that's good enough, that one sheep. Skip him, he's stupid, he gets lost, he can deal with himself. I got 99 right here. So the question from Jesus implies, and of course he leaves the 99 to go get the one, but the American Jesus that I maybe have gotten used to would say, oh, screw that, 99's good enough. I mean, how many of you are in school right now, students of all ages? How many of you would die for a 99% in a class, right? Yeah, have you ever seen one, Lauren, a 99%? We'll pray for you after the service over there. I mean, 99 is good. And so when I read that, doesn't he leave the 99? I'm like, well, no. But aren't you glad Jesus isn't an American who says 99 is good enough? Because even one sheep or one person who is lost is a point of major concern for the Good Shepherd. You see, the good shepherd, oh, he loves the 99 for sure, but the 99 are in the open country where it's safe and it's protected, but the other one, he's lost. So, you know, the good shepherd cares about the 99, but you know, they're all together. They got things going on. You know, the point of the shepherd and the sheep is to go and seek and save the one who was lost. Because the good shepherd, that is Jesus, doesn't want the church to just be about the church. Y'all know that phrase, navel gazing? There's my navel, I'm gazing. It's all about me. It's all about us. And so, the story implies that the church ought to lift its head and look out to people who aren't in the church. And so we have this assessment tool that helps us understand that, you know, the goal is for us to become kind of tree-like disciples who are reaching out and reaching up to God. And that comes from disciples who are rooted in the Word, but it comes from seeking. Quite frankly, this is all really good and nice, but that's not the point of what we're about. The point is about what I've been calling like fire alarm people who aren't even believers yet, people who maybe even aren't that close to becoming, maybe people who are like over there like that lamp, or maybe people who are so far over there like our security guy, Mr. Pinzotti. I mean, not that he's far from Christ, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying, right? The point of it all is not to say, yay, I've arrived, I'm now a tree-level disciple. The point of it all is people who aren't even close to Jesus. Because Jesus is good. And Jesus is winsome to sinful people. He ain't angry. And Jesus has joy, and Jesus has peace, and Jesus has freedom. He doesn't have a hand ready to smack down. He has a hand ready to pick up. And this is the Jesus that we, as his people, are to be about to bring to sheep who don't yet know him. And so, doesn't he leave the 99 and go get the one? The text implies, of course he does, because that's the way God is. And when he finds it, when he finds that one sheep, this is a misprint. Do you guys see that? That's a misprint. I told Anna, when she put this on, come on, Anna, this isn't right. It doesn't really mean that. That's a misprint. It actually says in the Bible, and when he finds it, he lectures it for being stupid and getting lost to begin with. You know, and it doesn't mean this in the original Bible. You check it out. It's Luke chapter 15. It says, and when he finds it, he points his finger and he shakes his head and his finger at the same time. Puts his hands on his hips. Kind of. So what are you doing, stupid? You made this bed. I ought to make you lie in it. You ought to stew in your own juices. What do you think you're doing, young man? What do you think you're doing, young lady? Do you know how much I've worried about you? Do you know how much I've wasted on you? And look at the 99. I should be back over there, and you should be over there. What do you think you're doing? You see, this is what the American Jesus would do. This is what many of us think. But it's not what the Bible reveals about Jesus. And I'm thinking we might need that crossover. Boom, boom. We might change from a direction where we think that way about sinful, lost people, and we need to change in a new direction and go the way of Jesus, who, the Bible says, when he finds that lost sheep, he joyfully, somebody say joyfully. Joyful. Somebody tell your face to look joyful. You're doing a good job right there. You know, we go to church, we're joyful, worshiping the Lord with gladness. He says joyfully, he picks up the sheep, he puts it on his shoulder. And I can just imagine him skipping home. Yeah, I found my sheep. And then what does it say? Look at the next slide. He calls his friends, hey, friends, come on. Let's get together. Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. See, an American Jesus follower would say, dude, you had 99. What's one? Leave me alone. I'm busy. But somebody who knows the biblical Jesus would say, praise the Lord. Let's party on because that one is worth saving. Hallelujah. And the 99 was like, yeah, our brother's back. Yeah, let's have him back. And it's worth a party. And then the Bible says, I'll tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, I'm looking at some righteous persons who've been walking with the Lord for a while. I would say some of you are over here in your discipleship. Some of you are over here. I'm going to say, you know what? Great for you. Big deal. Who cares? Because although that is awesome, it's about people who don't know Jesus meeting Jesus, and that's when heaven throws a party, and you're supposed to be the host of the party. It was never meant to be about you, Mr. or Mrs. follower of Jesus. I mean, sure, the Lord has given you freedom because at a time it was about you. When you were in bondage, Jesus says, it's about you and we got to set you free. And then when you get set free, he doesn't want you to think, now it's about me. Look how free I am. Look at me. He says, you're free to help free others. It was never supposed to be about a gathering of people who just feel good about gathering with others who believe the same. If our work as a church, if the river is only about Sunday morning worship, which is one of my favorite times of the week, but if this is all our faith is about, we're missing the point of the Jesus revealed in the story of the shepherd. It's not about you. So I'm wondering what type of crossover we need. I wonder what type of direction we're needing to change. See, I'm wondering if we're looking at church as a place that it's got to provide what I want so that I can be discipled, as opposed to the church needs to help equip me so that I can get out into the world and make a difference so that lost sheep can come in and me in heaven can have a party. So I'm wondering if the Jesus you've been following is not the biblical Jesus. And I'm wondering if you're just bored in your faith. And if that describes you in anything, I'll tell you what, the American Jesus lends himself to boredom. But the biblical Jesus, kills boredom. Because if you follow the biblical Jesus, man, your life's going to get crazy. So maybe some of you are thinking, ooh, I don't want a crazy life. I like safe and stable, so I'm going to follow this American Jesus over here. I'm telling you, that's the way to board. I mean, you don't want a bored faith. You want a faith that's crazy and risky, and you want to be out in the wild looking for lost sheep. And in the wild, right, there's crazy things in the wild. That's why they call it the wild. But I'm telling you, in the wild, that's where the story gets rich, the story gets awesome, and the story comes alive, and faith happens. So I'm wondering if part of the unrest I've been feeling for the past several months is because all of us need to kind of realign ourselves with the biblical Jesus and let the biblical Jesus do something in us so that we can become like him and do something amazing for him and for his kingdom. I'm wondering. I think we need a crossover.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.